The beginning of this week's parsha says as follows: Vayar Balak ben Zippor eis kol asher asa Yisrael ha'amori. Balak doesn't say who Balak was. It just says that he was the son of Zippor. He saw everything that Bnei Yisrael did to the Amori nation. Vayagar Moav mipnei am, and the nation of Moav became very scared. Moed, Kiravu. They were like disgusted. They were not feeling good about these Jewish people that were hanging out around them. The pasuk starts off, the parsha starts off talking about Balak, that Balak saw something, but then shifts and says that it was the nation of Moab that were very scared. Vayomer Moab azikne Midian. Moab went to the elders of Midian. Ata yilachu akalas kosaviv osenu kuchoch ashor isyer kasadeh. We're finished. That's it. They're going to finish us off. That's what the nation of Moab said. We're in a lot of trouble. And the pasuk ends off. Ubalak ben Zippor melech leMoav. Balak, the son of Zippor, he was the king of Moab. Now you tell me. You already quoted this guy Balak two psukim before. Now you tell me he's the king. Beisahi during that time. It's a very, very funny progression over here. First says Balak saw what the Jewish people did to the Amori nation. Then it says that Moab, the nation, they were very scared. They thought they were going to get wiped out. And Balak was the king of Moab during that time. What's going on over here? So I'd like to share a short idea that we see throughout this parsha. It's very applicable in our lives and daily lives, in our future, in basically every single move that we ever make. Start again. Vayar Balak ben Zippor. Balak saw something. What did he see? So Rashi says, Amar, he said, Elu shnei malachim, these two kings, shayinu betuchim aleihem, lo amdu bifneihem. The Jews just wiped out Sichon, Amori, wiped them out. They were the monsters. They were the strong ones. They were the giborim. And the Jewish people just like took them on. What are they going to do to us? Now, Balak made a very big mistake. Because really, all the Jewish people wanted was to walk through Sichon's land. They didn't come to go ahead and fight with them, to conquer them. That wasn't their goal. Jewish people are nice people. They just wanted to walk through. They weren't allowed, so they had to go through and they had to make sure that they don't get killed on the way. And if Balak would have realized that, if he would have seen the whole picture and not just half the picture, he would have realized there was nothing to worry about at all. But instead, he saw the little piece. He saw what he saw. He saw a nation take over Sichon. He's like, whoa, this is really bad. This is really bad. And he went ahead and he got everyone else riled up. He spread this message to the whole nation of Moab. And that's why the next pasuk says it was because of Vayar Balak. It was because of what Balak saw that all of a sudden, Vayagar Moab, the nation of Moab, got very, very scared. Okay, so what? A nation is scared, there's something wrong, but you have a leader. You have a leader that could guide you, a leader that could protect you, a leader that could take care of you. So why were they so scared? Why did it bother them so much? And that the pasuk highlights, Ubalak ben Zippor melech limoav. Because Balak was the king. Balak was the leader. And if the leader tells us that there's a big problem, if the leader can't look at the whole picture, if the leader just takes a look at little pieces and makes judgments and makes decisions and gets all worked up and overwhelmed by what he sees, so then obviously that's going to infiltrate into the whole nation. Of course, the entire nation is going to get all worked up. They're not going to know what to do. And therefore, the pasuk is explaining why were they nervous? Why was Moab all nervous? Because Moab was the king. I'm sorry, Balak was the king. Balak was the king and he was the leader and he was the one that was supposed to give them the proper perspective, and instead he failed and he only looked at a little piece, made judgments and decisions based on that, and then gave that over to the nation and got them all worked up. And we see that Balak suffered from this. This was a big problem. Balak did not look at the whole big picture and make decisions based on that. We see at the end of Perchav Beis, when he's taking Bilam to try to convince him to curse the Jewish people. So the Pasuk says, at the very end, it says, here we are, Vayhi baboker, Vayikach Balak is Bilam. Balak took Bilam with him, Vayaleh b'mos Baal, Vayar misham kitzei ha'am. He went to a high place and he showed him the kitzei ha'am, the edge of the nation. What does that mean? He showed him the edge of the nation. The Torah is highlighting that Balak tried to just show him a piece of Bnei Yisrael, a part of Bnei Yisrael. Instead of looking at the entire nation and all of their good and all of their potential and all of what they're made up of, let me show you a little piece. Okay, now come. Now you see, now you know what they're made up of? Okay, let's go curse them. Go get them. So you didn't see the whole picture. That's okay. You saw a little piece. That's enough to now go against them. Right? If we contrast this to what the Meraglim did when they went to scout out Eretz Yisrael, so they went to the extreme, the opposite. The Meraglim went in there and Moshe says, you know, get back the information. And the Pasuk says that the Meraglim went in there and they wanted to know what language the people there were speaking. So the Maral asks, says, who cares what language the people are speaking? You need to know, are they strong? Are they big? Where are they situated? Are they armed? Are they smart? It's not like people were making phone calls from one person to the other and needed to intercept their messages. Who cares what language the people speak there? So the Maral says, because the way a person speaks is very much indicative of who they are inside. And therefore they wanted to know every little detail about the people that were there. Not just their size, not just where they're situated. They wanted to know each person and the full extent of who that person was, so that they can know if they should take these people on or not. Balak is the exact opposite. You know, let's look at the edge of the nation. Got it? You see them? You think you can do it? Okay, let's go. Boom. Let's take on a big thing. A big fault. The Medrash says that it was the Vayar, it was the fact that Balak saw only a little piece, that was the key to his downfall. And the Medrash quotes other people that had big downfalls throughout Tanakh, that the Pasuk always before their downfall starts off Vayar. That when you don't see something in its completeness, you're in a lot of trouble. You're doomed for failure. By the third nevuah of Bilam, you see that Bilam also had this midah, this character trait. By the third nevuah, it says that Bilam was shesum ha'ayin. In Perchav Dalad, Pasuk Gimel and Dalad, says that he was shesum ha'ayin. Shesum ha'ayin. What does that mean? Rashi has two pshatim. Either he was missing an eyeball, just had a hole there, or he was blind in one eye. Why is that important? You know, what does his nose look like? Why is that important? Because the Torah is coming to highlight that he wasn't looking with two eyes. He wasn't looking to see the whole picture. He was seeing a half a picture. And he didn't see the whole potential of the Jewish people. And that's why he thought that he'd be able to go ahead and curse them. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos, when describing Bilam, says that Bilam was ayin ra'a. He had a bad eye. He didn't use his eye, his ability to see the depth, the amkus of a person, of the Bnei Yisrael. He looked with superficially. That was his way of looking at things. And that was the way that he operated. There's a story of a certain Rav who counseled people in their Shalom Bayis. If they had issues with their marriage, they'd come to him, he'd give them advice. And he was very, very careful always that none of his family members would be around. Keep this private. So one night, in the middle of the night, some lady comes banging on the door. And she looks all disheveled. She says, I need to speak to the rabbi. The son opened the door. So he got his father, and the son like hit on the side. And the lady starts crying and yelling, and my husband's abusive, and he doesn't take care of me, and he hurts me, and he yells at me, and he starts telling story after story after story. And the rabbi said, you know, it's the middle of the night now. And do you think you can at least tell your husband that I want to speak to him? He said, yeah. So the next morning, the husband comes in. The son had seen what had happened. The next morning, the husband came in, and the son was also, again, on the side, listening in without his father realizing it. And he said to the man, he said, "So, you know, how's life?" So the husband said, "Oh, it's horrible. It is horrible. My wife is driving me nuts. She yells at me. She throws things at me. She doesn't take care of anything in the house. Everything is falling apart. She yells at the kids. She uses me against the kids. It's a disaster. I don't know what to do with myself." So he said, "Okay, you know, I'd like for the two of you to come together tomorrow." Okay. Then when the husband left, he noticed that his son was behind the door over there. So he went over to his son, and he said to him, "You know, tell me, last night when you entered the door in the middle of the night and you saw this lady come in, what did you think?" He said, "Oh, I felt so horrible for this lady. What a evil husband that guy is. Look, he beats her and he this and he that. And my heart just went out to her. And what did you think this morning when the husband came in? I realized the guy's a tzaddik. Look what he's been living with all these years. The lady's a witch, you know." So he said, the father said, his father said, "You see from here a very, very important lesson. There's actually a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. When two people come and they want to, one says, this guy owes me money, etc. You're not allowed to listen to one person's side of the story without the other guy being there. Because every time you hear one side of the story, that's one side of the story. Very often when we hear one side of the story, we get all worked up and we get all emotionally attached to the person and we already have our decision of what we're going to do to the other guy. And I've seen this many times. People will make decisions without even hearing the other side of the story. And sometimes the other side of the story will blow you away. You never would have dreamt that there's something else totally going on, a totally different picture. And it's very, very crucial that we always go and make sure that we're looking at the whole picture. Even if we think it's obvious, no shaila, there's no question in the world that what this one person is telling us is right, we have to know. Decision 101. You don't make decisions and you don't make judgments until you hear the other person's side as well. And this is when we look at every single situation, every scenario that we're involved in. We have to try to think, what are the ramifications? What did this come from? Where did this come from? Why is this person acting this way? We have to try to not look with tunnel vision at this little thing and say, "Oh, that's what it is. You know, kid's running around the house, he's going crazy, he's making a mess, and look, my son is so wild. What are they teaching him in school?" And then, you know, your wife comes in and gives him a cookie and all of a sudden he's all better. He was hungry. His hunger manifested himself in being wild, but he's not really wild, he's starving, he just did not express himself. Sometimes there's a lot more to a story than what meets the eye. Now, this isn't easy. Some people, this comes very, it's much more natural too. Some people have to work harder at this. But we always have to take a step back from every single situation and say, what is going on over here? Is it like this or is it like this? Is there more that I should investigate on? We would do that if we were investing in the stock market. Right, we didn't say, "Oh, my friend told me this is doing well. Okay, let's put the money in there." Right, we'd look and understand. Maybe it was just that week that it did well, but the week before it went down like that. What's going on? What's the whole story? What's the history? What's the future? Right, we'll look into everything. This is where Balak and Bilam failed. Now, how do you work on this? How does a person become better at this? So, one area is to become a little more humble. Because I saw a very nice idea, cute word, in the name of the Sadigera Rebbe. He said on this pasuk, "Nu'ma gever shesuma ayin," he says as follows. He says, "Nu'ma gever shesuma ayin." When is the shesuma ayin? When is that person's eye closed? When it's nu'ma gever, when he's a gavra, when he's strong, when he's riding high. When things are going well and you're making money and you're successful and everything's awesome. So then, you know, you think it's, you know, of course, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Oh, Todah Lakel. Yeah, everything's going great, right? But, you know, it's also because of me. It's because of me that I'm being so successful, right? Our eyes are a little bit blinded from the reality. But then the pasuk continues and it says, "No fell, but when you fall, uglu yeinayim." Then your eyes become revealed. Your eyes become open. When a person is not doing as well, so then all of a sudden they say, "Look, I don't know what to do. I can't do anything with myself anymore. Hashem, help me. It's all you. I need you. I need you. I need you." When a person is strong, when a person is riding high, shesumayin, it's not so clear. When you think that you know everything and you understand everything and you're an expert in this area, and all of a sudden one side of the story comes and I know the answer to that one. I've done that one before. But when a person is a little more humble, they say, you know, I'm not so sure if what that person is saying is exactly the way it sounds. Maybe there's more to the story. Maybe there's something pushing that person to do that. Maybe there's something else motivating them. And you go ahead and look more and more and more into the story and you see a clear picture. But this is a very important lesson for us with our interpersonal relationships. It's one of the reasons that when you have a real relationship, texting is one of the worst things that could happen in the relationship. Because you don't see the person. You don't really know what they're thinking, what they're feeling. You don't really, you see the words. But how many times if we, I know me, and I'm sure other people as well, you misread a text. You know, they didn't put their exclamation point in the right spot, and they didn't use the emoji in the right way. And, you know, I had a friend who thought LOL meant lots of love. So, you know, if you make a mistake for a long time like that, that could cause lots of problems. You know, why is this person like telling me how much he loves me? You know what I'm saying? It's a little weird. But if you have to know, how do you read a text? When you see a person's face, right? Then you can understand, you know, they look upset. They look happy. They look calm. They don't mean anything by that statement. That was a pretty powerful statement. They weren't angry. But an email, a text, is very, very, it could be very, very detrimental. It could be very, very hurtful. And you could really get into big texting wars with, and no one meant anything. Just stop and, what did it mean? We have to remember not to be superficial. We have to think. We have to use our brains. We have to use our heart. We have to use our eyes to look into things as deep as possible. And like we saw in the beginning of the parasha, that is one of the character traits of a leader. It was because Balak was the Melech Moav that the whole Moav was all up in arms about nothing. There was nothing wrong. The Jews weren't going to hurt them at all. Everything was good. Either beat out Sichon, that was a technicality because they didn't let them go through. And Balak as the leader could have set the tone for so many other people. And we could do the same as leaders in our own lives, in our families, in our friends. We could very often, people could be all worked up and we could be a leader and we could just go ahead and set it straight. Let's take a step back. Let's be calm for a moment. What was this about? What really happened? Did they really mean it? Did they not? And then we could see, Be'ezus Hashem, that we can make the proper decisions and we could judge in the best way and we could be more successful in everything that we do. Shavua Tov.